After meeting with the Pope yesterday, J.D. Vance responds to his passing.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Hope you all had a lovely Easter weekend. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. We got a packed show later on. Rick Grinnell and Mike Pompeo will be joining us to discuss some of the latest news coming out of Washington, D.C., as well as some of those negotiations still happening in Iran. But, of course, we're going to open the show with what everyone's talking about, is that it's the passing of the Pope. The Pope has died today on Easter Monday, aged 88 years old. You may have seen the Pope just yesterday giving an Easter address and meeting with Vice President Vance. So, of course, we knew he had a lot of health problems, had a lot of health struggles over the last few months. It did seem like things were maybe getting better for Pope Francis, but unfortunately, he passes. Being the Pope and being able to do the Easter address just a few hours before you pass is pretty phenomenal. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy with this Pope over the last few years, and I think we're going to talk about that coming up in the next segment of what the future of the Catholic Church looks like and how it plays on the world stage versus how it plays in America, as we have seen a rise in American conservatives joining the Catholic Church. And we do have a statement from Vice President Vance, who again just met with the Pope yesterday at the Vatican, was there. J.D. Vance, a pretty recent convert to Catholicism, I believe. So it's interesting timing for sure.
That's right. So Vice President Vance put out on X, "I just learned of the passing of Pope Francis. My heart goes out to the millions of Christians all over the world who loved him. I was happy to see him yesterday, though he was obviously very ill. But I'll always remember him for the below homily he gave in the very early days of COVID. It was really quite beautiful. May God rest his soul." And then a link to that homily by Pope Francis from back in 2020.
Yeah, so that is from J.D. Vance, obviously coming out again. The breaking news this morning, the passing of the Pope. It's something that happens. It's happened a few times in our lifetime. I have more recently as they've gone a little bit older and picking who the popes are going to be. So maybe this time we will see an adjustment. Who knows? There's a whole process, and a lot of you saw the Conclave movie. Everyone's kind of followed the journey of what it looks like to be the next pope. And right now they're starting the 9 days of mourning. I'm not all that familiar with all of the traditions, so I'm not going to claim to sit here and be an expert in this. But I love your thoughts. I love your thoughts on where the Catholic Church is going right now. You know, you have, like you said, a resurgence in American conservatism going towards Catholicism. And I thought it was kind of strange, I'll be honest. But, you know, it is what's happening right now. And just a turn to faith that's happening in general. You may have seen yesterday on ABC, Disney owned, they did a 3-hour edition of American Idol, all in tribute to Easter Sunday, using Christian and gospel songs, featuring all their hosts and a lot of there's been more Christian songs probably on this season of American Idol than I've ever seen before. I mean, big moment. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Are we seeing that sort of revival in the land, to quote Carmen, happening once again? 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. Get your comments in. 1-800-684-3110. We did see this Pope certainly push a more liberal, I guess you'd say, agenda over the last handful of years, maybe not as much as people portrayed, but there were moments certainly where he was not as traditional Catholic as a lot of my friends who are Catholics would have hoped.
That's right, and we'll get into this in the next segment some as well, but there was many things that this Pope did that kind of broke with, even some would say, with Catholic doctrine in some of the statements and proclamations that he made, and the way that he jousted with the leadership of the United States, calling out specifically what he saw was unfair treatment of migrants, weighing into world political issues more than what we had seen even in our lifetime. But we'll get into some of that, and also how will the Catholic Church kind of take this going forward? Is the way Americans are converting, will that have any bearing on who they choose as their next pope?
All right, we'll talk about it when we get back. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Give me a call. Phone lines are open for you.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
To Seculo, we are going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. For those just joining us right now, to restate what's going on, obviously the breaking news this morning was that Pope Francis has passed away, and a lot of the Catholic Church is in mourning. But also it comes on the heels, legitimately, a few hours ago, where Vice President Vance was meeting with this Pope to discuss some of the, obviously to celebrate the Easter holiday, Resurrection Day, but also to talk about some of the ways the Catholic Church has weighed in on the politics of the time. Maybe more so than ever, this Pope will be remembered as someone who was maybe more controversial for conservatives, was a little more left-leaning. And will we see now the Catholic Church try to adjust who they pick? Because we did have that. We had this sort of rise happening right now in the state of the church, if you will. One of our producers just put this on my desk. This is a new research. This is belief in Jesus' rise fueled by younger adults. And I'm seeing that. I'm pretty heavily involved now in the Christian media side, the Christian music industry. And with that, I'm seeing such a turn back to faith that feels like a really important time in America, at least, and in the UK. We're seeing both of that, too. In Europe, it's happening. But in the UK, I can tell you, it is stronger than I've seen it in my lifetime, of this sort of true evangelicalism that's coming out of the streets of London in a way that has not happened in a very long time, because they have been a place where the church, though exists, has been on the decline, and the state-run church has been in issues. And then, of course, you have in the Catholic side a rise in sort of traditional Catholic leaning more towards conservative Republicans, if you will. That is something that is changing, too, because we always kind of associated Catholicism over the last maybe decade or maybe two decades as more of a liberal-leaning churches, or churches that were kind of a bit, you know, it full up with tradition, but not necessarily with spirit, if you will, in terms of the way they interacted with politics.
Well, in this study you mentioned, the Barna study, which is the State of the Church 2025, this is kind of a overview of all of Christendom, if you will.
Yeah.
But this is showing that their study, compared to an earlier study, shows that 66% of all U.S. adults say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus that is still important in their life today. And that's a 12% increase since their study in 2021. So that's a significant shift.
For
but
sure.
Then when you also look specifically at the Catholic Church, as you were mentioning, this just came out a few days ago, the National Catholic Register showed that year-over-year reporting, so just the 2023 to 2024 year versus 2024 to 2025, there are increases anywhere from 30 to 70%, depending on the diocese that they're talking about, the local areas and how it's broken up, and 30 to 70% in new converts. And I think this has to go back a little bit as we talk about what comes next for the leadership of the Catholic Church at the Vatican with the new pope and what we've seen here in the United States. We have seen like these numbers, 30 to 70% new converts, younger Americans leaning right, center right to more full-on conservative that are joining the church in mass. And a lot of that, they're pointing to pushback on some of the lax, non-structured things that we've seen a lot of non-denominational churches or even some mainline denominations that have kind of gotten away from a lot of the tradition and structure. But we're seeing this happen at a time where the church globally, the Catholic Church globally, was seemingly, based off the leadership, going further left. And then you see Americans here at home that are more conservative, family value-based individuals that are not only joining, but being very vocal and evangelistic about their conversion to Catholicism and why that they believe this is a good choice, and reaching out and imploring others to come to Mass with them in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime of people trying to not just become Catholic or be socially Catholic, but trying to get people to join them in this. And you also think about what happened under the Biden administration. You know, President Biden, a Catholic president, but we saw the use of the FBI that was targeting this type of Catholic, a new, young, energetic Catholic that was liked the tradition. They called them the radical traditional Catholics, and they were wanting to send spies in and wanting to monitor them and consider them a domestic terror threat leading up to an election. And that brings to mind here that when you see some sort of revival, and regardless of your thoughts on various denominations or the Catholic Church, when you see people moving towards something passionately, and the government decides, and we talk a lot about the First Amendment and the freedom of religion here at the ACLJ, but when you see the government decide, you know what? That's too conservative for me. I don't like that in the church. We're going to try and spy on them and consider them a terror threat and monitor them. That one thing, if tells you anything, that if the government feels that way, maybe something good is happening in the faith movement there. But also it makes you wonder, if they thought they were that dangerous, does the Vatican respond to the movement in the United States and in the UK and say, you know what? We went with someone who was very more left. Do we kind of try and moderate that and go back center to really show what the church is doing now?
Well, it's looking towards the future. If you look at, I would say that the sort of Gen Xers and the millennials, and look, my generation included, a lot of them grew up in the church and got pushed away, didn't care for it anymore, didn't raise their children on it. So you have that generation of sort of the younger millennials who have rejected it. Now you have a massive response from Gen Alpha and from Gen Z that are looking for something to hold on to, something real, something that's going on inside of their lives instead of just the vapid world of social media and everything they've been preached to, honestly, from the media for the last 15 years, pretty much their entire lives. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing it. So does the church say, hey, we are going to actually now try to appeal to that age group, to an age group that is up and coming? I'm not talking about us, Will. I'm talking about the generation below us. I'm talking about people that are in high school right now or in, you know, maybe their early years of college. Because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing it happen for Christian music. I'm happening to see it happen for Catholicism. There is a moment of time happening right now. And you got to get your head out of the sand if you think all of this is dead. I was saying that last night. If you're watching that 3-hour American Idol special and you tell me that there's no Christian music happening anymore, sorry. I've been to 3 arena shows with 20,000 people packed into arena worshiping. It's happening. It's in front of your eyes. It's under your nose. Take a look around what's going on. And most of the people there, teenagers. Okay, once again, much like when we grew up, teenagers. So how do you avoid the pitfalls of what happened before? I think there's ways you can do that. And I think some of it is going to be, like you said, appealing to this audience that they want to see. Now, I don't know how that exists in Rome. don't know how it exists at the Vatican, because that's a totally different thing than evangelical Christianity in the way that traditional, you know, pops and booms, Jesus movements that have happened over the years occur, because this is a lot of politicking, as we know, in terms of who gets to be the Pope, how the Pope gets to run. And certainly, like I said, I'm not a specialist in this. I am not a Catholic. My friends who are Catholics, a lot of them were not thrilled with this Pope in general. A lot of them couldn't publicly say it, which is an odd thing. Also, you know, you have that weird sort of balance between God and the Pope, and I don't want to get into theological discussions about that, but you know that it's very different. But when we see these sort of revival moments happening, look, I think there's a lot of great, passionate Christians in the Catholic Church who are ready for something. Like you said, they love the tradition, they love the structure, but want to get back to it. Let's go take a call real quick. Eric is calling, and hopefully this gets you to call in too, 1-800-684-3110. Eric, you're on the air.
So I think it's a good opportunity for us to get more, as Christians, to get more media going. I mean, we need more YouTubers. We need more of an influence out there, and there's never been a better time.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do kind of a residency, a Christian film residency, where, you know, media missionaries. I went to The Chosen last night on Easter. Wow, man, there was a packed theater watching something different. Like it used to be, you know, always action movies, and then you'd sprinkle in this woke agenda. And last night, it was like our team did something.
Yeah, Eric.
And they did it. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the premiere for The King of Kings, which is the new Jesus animated film that is out right now through Angel Studios. Beautiful movie. Incredibly well done. And again, packed house. I think it finished number two behind Minecraft movie. So, I mean, you're seeing that big impact happen right now. And that's what we've done here at the ACLJ, too. You know, we've done, I always say, you got to go the law, you got to go the hearts and minds. And we've done both. We kind of live in two worlds, and those worlds both have to coexist. You have to make sure you're there legally. You're there in the courtroom for the teams that need it the most, for the people that need it in the moment, especially the churches and the people who need their true religious freedom protected. But then you got to make sure you're winning hearts and minds. So that's how we do that with this show, with some of the movies we put out, the documentaries, the specials. It's all snowballing. It's all happening. And look, do I think the producers there in American Idol are like, we're going to win everyone over for Jesus? Probably not. But what they are seeing is a massive opportunity and huge audience appeal. Why? Because it's happening right now. And it's happening in unique ways. It's Brandon Lake, but it's Jelly Roll. That's what's happening right now. 1-800-684-3110, because if Christians have learned their lesson and now are a more accepting and a less, less sticklers than they used to be in terms of who we're willing to talk to, and more forgiving than they used to be, which I think is, part of the Bible. Pretty good. Pretty good part of it. Yeah, a little bit of forgiveness. We'll be right back with more on Secula.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Secula. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms, and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Seculo. We do have some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I am reading through a lot of your comments right now. A lot of people talking about how they celebrated Resurrection Day yesterday. But look, there's a comment right now that said, hey, it's very rainy here in East Africa today. I just want you to understand that. When we are talking about the worldwide reach of this show and this organization, this is where the world has changed. Sure, it's great to be on terrestrial radio and still be able to exist, tune in to your AM station, your FM station. We're broadcasting there. Still great in your local markets. It's great to be available on things like the Salem News Channel. It's great to be available on TBN once a week. But by able to be able to use free new media, we are able to reach all over the world, and we are reaching all over the world. It's amazing. So remember, when you're talking about your American values, your American Christian values, if you will, it can reach all over the world because of broadcasts like this. This is why we have to be in the courtroom, but we also have to be here. We have to be broadcasting every day because it's so important on a worldwide scale. And there's so much happening, including, obviously, we've talked about what was going on in Congo and the Christians that are under attack there. And around the globe, we are fighting. We're fighting. There's a lot of imprisoned Christians still overseas. They're being persecuted around the globe. And we have to have your support to help them, because we don't take, obviously, any sort of money from these clients. These are people who are being tortured for their faith. And we're engaging right now with Congress to help defend Christians who are facing that unthinkable reality. We are working really diligently to mobilize all of our offices around the world. And I'm so happy that I get to see these comments come in, because it gives me a good reminder of how far of a reach that our broadcast gets to. When you see 470,000 people on YouTube, that number sometimes can get a little blurry on what it means. But then you're able to realize, oh, we can reach around the globe and spread this message. It's really amazing. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Will, we wanted to adjust the topic a little bit. Obviously, we're talking about the passing of Pope Francis, but we did want to move on, because a little bit in the world of American politics, there has been some shakeups.
That's right. And over the weekend, which many people during the Easter weekend aren't necessarily paying attention to the news as much, maybe spending time with family, going to Good Friday services and Easter services.
Trying to
tune that out, or two nights of WrestleMania.
Some
for you,
of us
Logan.
Did all of those things.
That's a lot, and that means you probably didn't have time to look at what some of the DC class was writing.
I was way too focused on John Cena. And,
so there was quite a few articles that were all coming out at the same time, and that there was articles in Politico saying that there was so much chaos at the Department of Defense that there's no way that Pete Hegseth survives this. There was articles where some of the people that were fired for leaking were trying to come out and saying, you've defamed us, we didn't leak anything, this is about something else because we stood up to you. And there's all these articles all hitting at the same time. It felt so coordinated over a holiday weekend that they're flooding the media with attack pieces against Pete Hegseth. And then you have today the White House coming out and saying that that they back Pete Hegseth, and he says the entire Pentagon is resisting him. And this whole story to me just feels very much like the first Trump term, when you put someone in at a entrenched bureaucracy, an entrenched federal agency, and they want to change things. They want to make it better. This is, remember, the Pentagon that hasn't passed an audit in 7 years, and they can't account for where all this money goes. And it's one of the biggest budget items in the government. And is it any wonder that all of a sudden, when they are trying to make real reforms, that they're going after the Secretary of Defense, the person chosen by President Trump to lead these reforms? But one other thing, too, that can't be lost on this, because we're going to talk more about this with Rick Grenell, what he sees, how it compares to some of the attacks on cabinet members under the first Trump term. But we have a unique opportunity right now to see real reforms at the Department of Defense. And I want to bring up what we discovered in our FOIA when they were training people at Fort Bragg that pro-life groups were terrorists. There was a slide that specifically said terrorist groups. and was listing pro-life groups like Operation Rescue, National Right to Life, specifically saying
if you're watching on the screen, this is the actual slide. We didn't just decide to make this. This is the slide they were showing to your American military.
And we got this from our FOIA, the actual deck that was being presented.
Freedom of Information Act request.
That's right.
I try to spell everything out.
And so it even talks about people that are sidewalk counselors or crisis centers, something we're defending right now in Massachusetts. Through our Choice Begins Here campaign, right. As well as the lawsuit to try to shut down the government funding of these ads that the government's running, saying don't trust crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers. But all this goes because we found this out, and then we started to get information from the FOIA, and we see that there was a concerted effort, it feels like, within the Department of Defense to make this go away. And they said, we admit we made a mistake. The mistake was, the top of that slide said terrorist groups. It wasn't a mistake to have them in there. It wasn't a mistake to talk about these groups in the context of terrorism awareness training. But just the slide heading shouldn't have said terrorist groups. But then it goes on, because as you read this 100-page investigation report, we find out that the people that were interviewed on behalf of this said, no, they were hostile towards these groups. They didn't like them. They were telling you, be aware of these groups. And so that apology and saying that there was a mistake wasn't really an apology at all, in that more than almost 10,000 people that we know of had been trained on this. And this wasn't just a brand new training. This had been going on for years. So that type of stuff is still happening at the Department of Defense. And you need someone like Pete Hegseth there that we are drafting a letter right now to go directly to him, not just the low-level bureaucrats, not just the people that are entrenched that want to train our soldiers that Operation Rescue and pro-life groups are terrorists and you got to watch out for them, to our military. So we got to go to the top. And is it any wonder that you know that would be a friendly voice at the top of the Department of Defense, wanting to root out this kind of bad actor bias, calling pro-life Americans terrorists? When you have someone at the top that would be receptive to this, of course, you're going to see the sharks circling and try to attack. Because it's not just this. It's every issue of corruption and malfeasance in the Department of Defense.
Hopefully, the Trump administration is a little bit different, not listening to the media, not listening to their people who are pushing back on them to this point where they'll get bullied into making a decision that they don't want to make. We'll see what happens. Politics can be dirty. Washington, D.C. can be very dirty. But maybe you'll actually have someone stick up for them. We'll see. But we're going to try to help in that. Hey, I want to throw up that QR code right now. We are only a few days away from the end of our Life and Liberty Drive. It only lasts through the month of April. And I'm going to ask you right now to go to ACLJ.org as we head into the second half hour of the show. And some of you lose us. So this may be where you end. If this is where you lose us, I'm going to ask you to go right now to ACLJ.org or scan the QR code that you see on your screen. You have heard about what we are doing right now. We are fighting to free imprisoned and persecuted Christians around the globe. We need your help to support them. Sadly, so many Christians were not able to celebrate Easter yesterday. They were imprisoned or they lost their lives. But with the ACLJ, we're able to help out, and we're engaging right now with Congress to defend Christians facing unthinkable persecution. In the Congo, we're mobilizing our offices around the globe to defend Christians from Pakistan's Supreme Court to the halls of the UN. And we are engaged in battles for Christians coast to coast in America, including those who are having their churches and their street preaching shut down. We need your help right now. Go to ACLJ.org or scan the QR code you see on the screen. Donations are doubled just for the next few days.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour is going to be jam-packed. We're going to take as many calls as we can in this segment. If any of you call in at 1-800-684-3110, because joining us next is Rick Grinnell, followed by Mike Pompeo. So it's going to be a packed second half hour of the broadcast. Of course, we are talking about a few different topics, one of which is, of course, the passing of Pope Francis. Now, this comes also on the heels of, you may have seen what happened at Coachella, where there was a massive Coachella Music Festival in California. There was a massive display against Israel that happened on the stage at Coachella. You have some of the owners of Coachella who have called this inappropriate, and they had nothing to do with it. It just, the person running the graphics for that band specifically put up these messages that were not just, hey, ceasefire. It was, you know, profanities targeted specifically at Israel, Israeli citizens. And it's really horrifying when you look at the pictures from it, especially over Easter weekend, especially over Passover, when all of this is on the top of the mind of historically how things have gone down. So I want to make sure that we didn't do that, because look, even this Pope, look, a lot of people had issues with the Pope who just passed. I mean, one of the last things he did was call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Of course, a lot of us, you know, I'm looking at the sign right now from Coachella that said, blank Israel, free Palestine. So you can fill in the blank yourself there.
Well, and when you think about how, one, disgusting this is, but on top of that, that the October 7th attack attacked a music festival.
Very similar.
Very similar to Coachella. And the fact that there's no solidarity between people that just want to go and enjoy music. We remember the attack on the Bataclan in France by ISIS. And the entire world was outraged about, and rightfully so, about a terrorist attack on people going to a concert venue, hearing music, relaxing, having a good time, and terrorists specifically targeted that. The difference here is that it was Israel and Jews that were killed, and so it's okay for the world to not care.
Yeah.
It's okay for the world to blame the victim at a concert that was just attending a music festival. It's shocking.
Yeah, I have no issue with a band telling you their political opinion. Most of the music I love, probably these are not conservatives. Okay, I know people have gone after Green Day a lot in this, because Green Day has become a very pro-Palestinian group, if you will, a very pro-Hamas group, sadly. Look, I used to go to their tours all the time. They were never friendly to George W. Bush. They were never friendly, American Idiot. They were never friendly to Ted Cruz. But you know what? That's our own politics. I never really had as much of a problem with that. We're complaining about how you feel politically about what's happening in your country. You are not essentially calling for the eradication of a people group or supporting terrorism. That's a little different than saying, I don't like Ted Cruz, and saying, blank Israel, you know, free Palestine. This is a different, but they don't understand that there is a difference there, that is what's happening. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. President Trump did just make a statement, by the way. We were talking about the Pete Hegseth situation, where there's a lot of pushback on Pete right now. Clearly, there is a media angle that wants him out of power, wants him out of his position. President Trump just responded at the Easter egg roll that happened this morning. I know it's happening Easter Monday here. You know, standing next to the Easter bunny, you got to make these kind of statements. And of course, our friend Sean Spicer may or may not have been, not this year, but in his previous life, the Easter bunny. So let's hear, not that, you know what I mean, the guy, you know, okay, moving on. Let's go ahead. Let's hear from President Trump.
Here we go again. Just a waste of time.
He is doing
a great job.
Why do you still have confidence?
Because he's doing a great job.
Thank you.
Ask the Houthis how he's doing. Ask the Houthis how much dysfunction they have. There's none. Pete's doing a great job. Everybody's happy with him. We have the highest recruitment numbers I think they've had in 28 years. No, he's doing a great job. It's just fake news. They just bring up stories. I guess it sounds like disgruntled employees. You know, he was put there to get rid of a lot of bad people, and that's what he's doing. So you don't always have friends when you do that.
There you go, from President Trump, and we're going to get Rick Grinnell's take on this in the next segment. He'll be joining us live, so don't go away. You won't want to miss that. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, though. You never know.
I don't know. Who knows?
He can talk about a lot of things.
He can talk about everything.
Right.
I mean, he is heading up the Kennedy Center. I assume they had a bunny. Give us a call if you want to be on the air. We'll be right back. Go to ACLJ.org if you want to support the work. Rick's coming up, and then Mike later on.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. It's Monday. We're going to be joined right now by our friend Rick Grinnell, who is currently at the Kennedy Center, it looks like, also chatting with us. Rick, it has been a pretty wild weekend. Obviously, a lot of people woke up to the news of the passing of the Pope, but there's been the Easter egg roll this morning. Everyone had their Easter holiday, and we're celebrating going to church, Resurrection Day that was happening. But in that, there was a lot of noise from, of course, the left, who are trying desperately, Will, it seems like, to push out one of President Trump's cabinet members. Now, this happens, and look, in Washington, D.C., it can happen, and it can actually get done. It can get happen where there's enough pressure. I'm hoping and thinking that President Trump and this administration, a little bit different, they don't maybe don't listen to the mainstream press as much as some of the others, but Will, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, Rick, to me, this in some ways feels like something that would have happened at the beginning of the first Trump administration, where what we've seen is more coordination and better messaging in this second round to go into these bureaucracies and get things done. When you have a monolith like the Department of Defense with so many entrenched bureaucrats, and this is, once again, an agency, a department that can't pass an audit, you are going to have people there that don't like change and don't like restructuring. And so to me, this entire media swarm that came out over a holiday weekend, where you were seeing headlines on every DC type media outlet about how bad Pete Hegseth is, it just felt so coordinated and obvious that the goal here was people inside the bureaucracy, the deep state, if you will, trying to push him out because he actually wants accountability there.
Yeah, look, I think your point on the it feels exactly like the first term is exactly what I was thinking. This used to be a thing, right? The media would go after somebody and then there would be panic. And usually they're going after people that are effective. In Pete's case, they've never really let up. They just keep going after him. I know the feeling. And it doesn't matter, honestly. President Trump doesn't focus on that. He's not reading the New York Times or the Washington Post. All of these newspapers, by the way, they have paywalls. Raise your hand if you're paying for them. I'm not paying for them. You can't even click past it. And so I really don't think that it matters much. Pete just needs to stay focused on doing his job. He's doing a great job. The fact that he's losing some staffers is irrelevant, honestly. There are so many people that want to work there, that want to work for Pete. He'll have a pick of people. And, you know, who knows why they're being let go, but one was already kind of talking to the media and talking about, you know, inside information of chaos. And I think that's so typical of what people say. So in Washington, D.C., where I am now, I'm not always here. I don't always love being here, but I am here. And it's so typical of what this city does, which is try to talk about palace intrigue and gossip. But most of us know that we just ignore it. And I will say that most of our listeners are barely even hearing about it. It's good to confront it, but it is really just irrelevant gossip in Washington.
Rick, I couldn't agree more. I found out about all this morning because most of us are living our normal lives, having our Easter weekend.
What are you saying about me? I didn't have a normal life over the weekend, Logan. That I read things. I'm sorry.
Well, if you want to raise your hand if you're one of the paywall people, that's this guy over here. Okay, not me. That's why, honestly, the ACLJ page, I've always said, never going to be behind a paywall as long as I have any sort of say in it, because you actually want your message to get out there and eliminate these friction points. If you want to be real influencers, by the way, this is just all of a sudden have like a TED talk right here. Eliminate these friction points that are happening on your websites and all over. This is for Christians, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, atheists, whatever. If you want your voice heard, we don't live in a world where these paywalls are going to work. And quit asking me for 59 cents a day to subscribe to your newspaper, okay? That doesn't give me a lot of feeling like I am putting some value in this content. I don't know if this content is only worth 59 cents. Then I am, okay, I'm done now. But Rick, it's true. And has Washington, D.C., you bring up, you don't love being there all the time. And look, same reason why I planted ourselves here in Nashville. Does it feel like a different time, though? Does it feel like things are changing right now? I mean, you're at the Kennedy Center. You are doing so much. Does it feel like there is any sort of breath of fresh air there? Or do you want to get out as quick as you can?
I basically go from the Kennedy Center to the White House to my condo. And so all three of those are the access of positivity. So let me just say that as long as I stay within that little realm, I'm doing pretty well. Yes, I have a lot of friends here, a lot of friends in the administration. So, you know, this week I'm going to go to dinner with Kash Patel, for instance. That is one of those fun things that you get to do because we're both living in the same city. But I guarantee within the first 5 minutes of both of us getting together, he's going to say, "Isn't the city terrible? We got to get out." He wants to get back to Vegas at some point, you know, when his service is over. But this is not a city that I think most Americans would recognize if you came here and you worked as a part of it. It's very swampy. Although Donald Trump is really changing the place. A lot of people, the budgets are being cut. A lot of people who are extra add-ons are getting cut. And that just saves American tax dollars. And one of the things that I try to stay focused on is the rest of America that's working so hard, having to pay for all of this. When you're in Washington and you hear people being let go and people, you know, freaking out. I just had this issue on Facebook where a friend of mine was complaining about somebody from the Intel world that was getting cut. And I just had to share the budget of what today's Intel community budget is compared to just like 10 years ago, and it's almost doubled. So the growth in Washington, D.C. is out of control. I think people like Pete Hegseth are focused on trying to fix it. And of course, the, you know, typical reporters in Washington are going to scream and holler about those of us that are trying to fix the problems.
Well, and I think to that point, exactly, Rick, is that it very similarly what you're doing at the Kennedy Center and what the Secretary of Defense is trying to do at the Department of Defense. And you can go on and on throughout these agencies or departments. But what Secretary Hegseth has said the entire time is that he is standing up for the warfighter. And what it feels like, all these bureaucracies across the board, the only thing that they were focused on was not their core mission of what they were doing, but of spending money. How can we deplete our budget so that we can ask for more the next year from Congress, get that, and then spend that again? And so you get bloat, you get these budgets and personnel and everything doubling, tripling in some cases so rapidly and it doesn't add value to the American people, to the safety of America, depending on what you're looking at. The mission has creeped from the Kennedy Center, a place for the arts and celebrating that in America, to spending money. You talked about having no cash reserves there. You have, you're in financial dire straits at the Kennedy Center. I would say the same thing about the Pentagon if you can't pass an audit. And so really these stories are linked because immediately people start going to the press and leaking. Why? Not because they're concerned about the warfighters or the arts in D.C., but because they're concerned about the budget and being able to spend more and really give no benefit or return to the American people.
Look, I think one thing that our listeners know more than anything is in their community, the status quo has a lot of cheerleaders. And if you try to change the status quo, the first people who scream and holler are the ones that are benefiting from the status quo. We see that with tariffs. We see that with budget cuts. We see it all over Washington, D.C. But I think the public policy officials have to really ask themselves, is the status quo working for the majority of people? And I think the answer when it comes to the tariffs is no, it hasn't been working. Young people are having a real hard time finding the means to buy a house. And if that is the case in America, the American dream is slipping away for a whole generation of people. And so we can't do that. We've got to be able to bring back manufacturing, bring back the idea that we are making things. When it comes to the status quo for Pete Hegseth, we can't be spending as much money as we are on other people's defense and then watching a $36 trillion national debt for America and Americans. I think the same thing at the Kennedy Center when it comes to the status quo. Conservatives have never felt welcomed here. And we need to be able to have institutions like the Kennedy Center, which is the world's greatest arts institute, have programming where everyone is welcomed and no one is booed because everyone is welcome.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Easter, and we'll talk to you again later on in the week. But we appreciate all you do for us here at the ACLJ and for our country at the same time. You're very busy, and it's not lost on us that you still take the time to talk to our audience, the members of the ACLJ, and those that really want to learn from the great work you do and the great insight that you have. So thank you, Rick. When we come back, we will be joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He will be giving us some updates on the Iran negotiations that are going on. But we have a lot that you can learn also at ACLJ.org. Go to ACLJ.org, read the articles, learn about the great work we do, and please donate during our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org. Every donation is doubled during this drive.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months, and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Secula. We are joined by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, via phone today. Secretary Pompeo, second round of talks just happened between the United States and Iran. This happened over the weekend in Rome. The talks now move to what is being called expert level in the coming days. To you, is the deal looking more likely or less likely? And of course, look, I think we've all had that discussion here, whether we think this is a good thing or not. But is that progress?
Look, thanks for having me on today. Look, I think anytime you're having this conversation is useful. I hope we'll get after it quickly. It sounds like that's President Trump's plan. We should get to the end of this before too long. Everyone knows precisely how this is going to play out in terms of where the relative risks are. The fact that the technical teams are now taking the field suggests to me that it is a pretty serious conversation. But second, once the technical begins, it gets really hard because you ultimately hit the rock in the hard place. There's no binary. There's nothing other than either you can enrich uranium or you can't. And no technical experts can gild the lily on that. And I suspect these will become not technical issues, but political issues that are going to be really hard to overcome.
Mr. Secretary, you've written quite a bit in this past week, both for ACLJ.org, why we must prevent Iran's nuclear ambition. So everyone can go read that up at ACLJ.org, but also in the free press, talking about what the United States should get in a potential nuclear agreement. And you kind of narrowed it down to three categories. I just wonder if you could kind of break that down for us briefly and why you think these are the key to getting to a deal, if there is one to be had.
I hope your audience will go on to ACLJ.org and read the piece that I wrote and put.
I think we may have temporarily lost Secretary Pompeo, but of course he was saying to go to ACLJ.org.
Yeah, oh, there. You got me back?
We got you back. Go ahead.
Great. Look, I hope they'll go to ACLJ.org and read the piece because it talks about the centrality of getting this right for America. The risk to the United States is very, very real. There are three things that have to be achieved in the end. The first is the complete verifiable dismantlement of the entirety of their nuclear program. They may well be further along than we even know. And so you got to get in there and see everything, which includes no notice anywhere inspections. And that'll be a technical issue that gets discussed that I'm guessing will be really hard for the Iranians to concede to. Second, we shouldn't forget October 7th was an Iranian-sponsored terror attack. And so the Iranians also have to push back against their proxies and not provide them with resources and funding. So that'd be the second important piece of it. And then thirdly, an Iranian regime that is still hostile to Israel and still hostile to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Oman and all the other nations in the region is a dangerous nation for the United States. Those are our friends, our commercial partners, our security partners. They've got to give up the stated intention of destroying each of these and taking over political control of each of those places. If those three things can be achieved, then goodness knows, sign me up for a deal.
Mr. Secretary, we know that over the past 4 years especially, well, one, before that, we knew that maximum pressure worked. We knew that it deprived them of funds to be able to engage in more proxy attacks against our allies and partners in the region. And we also know that it limited their capacity to be able to invest in furthering this technology. And then we saw 4 years of just taking the reins off and letting Iran get the cash they needed to continue proxy wars, terror attacks, and increase this entire nuclear program. We also know that, especially for this president, that war should be the last option, that he's not trigger happy, wanting to jump into a war, especially one that could have huge ramifications globally. But is there a path where there's either a deal or is it end up one way or the other? We have to stop Iran from getting this technology and this capability.
Look, I think there's been a false choice presented from John Kerry onward, which was a deal or war. I don't think those are the two mutually exclusive conclusions. I think in the event that the Iranians won't agree to what we've described, you can go back to a model that looks like what we did for the first 4 years, which is to deny them the ability to advance their nuclear program, deny them the ability to pay Hezbollah soldiers or Hamas terrorists. Those are the things that present risk to the regime and over time can get you the outcome you're looking for without a conflict. And there are also things short of what I'll describe as total war. There are actually other things that the United States and our Israeli friends can do to set their program back. And so I don't think we should just tell ourselves, gosh, if you can't get a deal, we're going to have World War III. I've heard that from the deep state for a long time. If we don't surrender, there'll be World War III. We took out General Soleimani. They said there'd be World War III. There wasn't. I think it's very likely the United States has the power to deter Iran from doing precisely that, even if we come after their program.
As we wrap up, Secretary Pompeo, I think that was a very important point you just made about there not only being two options, war or negotiation, that sometimes you can figure out something in the middle, that sometimes big things can get done. You brought up Soleimani, and those are obviously big things that you took care of and took a lot of risk on yourself for that. And we all know that, and we all appreciate that. But Secretary Pompeo, I think that is something that our crowd and our audience, and look, I think most of people listening don't really see that third option that you've presented, or maybe haven't been thinking about it.
Yes, I think that's right. I think it's been ingrained, war or deal. I think we should remember that the deterrence model, the peace through strength model works, and President Trump is perfectly positioned to actually achieve that without going to war with Iran.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate your specialty and your really just your thoughts and guidance here. And we always appreciate that. I did want to take the next 2.5 minutes as we end this show today on this Monday, of course, for all of our Catholic listeners and friends. Obviously, they're talking about the passing of the Pope, and we're going to talk about what that means, I'm sure, as it gets closer to a naming of a new Pope. There's a whole process. You may ask why it matters. It does matter on a global scale, and the ACLJ is involved in the global church everywhere. And yesterday was obviously Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. A lot of Christians around the world who gathered with their family and friends, including my family, but a lot of you were not able to. A lot of Christians are being persecuted for their faith, are not allowed to live openly with their faith. And that is happening in our country and around the world. Churches are trying to get shut down in places like California. Street preachers are getting shut down in Chicago. But we're there at the ACLJ to defend them, as well as those who are losing their life for their faith all over the world. So remember, when America, we may have some of these issues that come up, the ACLJ gets involved. A lot of times it's handled civilly, through the law, through the media. But there are still areas in this world where you cannot openly live as a Christian. We're there. So now, I'm going to encourage you for the next minute and a half to really consider supporting the work of the ACLJ, as we are only 9 days away from the end of our Life and Liberty Drive. This is the last 9 days to have your donations doubled. We are mobilizing our offices across the world, whether that's Christians here, whether that's for people in Pakistan, and whether that's through the halls of the UN. We are engaged in these court cases also from coast to coast. Like I said, people that are getting banned from doing their home Bible studies, people who are prohibited from praying publicly. We are defending preachers who are getting criminal charges in Chicago just for street preaching and really their First Amendment rights being trampled on. Your donations, though, right now, that is how we help these people. We don't ask them for any money, and we want to be there for you when you need it as well. Your donations are literally helping us protect religious freedom around the globe. So here we are. Only 9 days left to have your gift doubled, and we need your support. If you're watching right now, you can scan the QR code on your screen. Just if you have an iPhone or Android, just open up your camera and scan it. Or just go to aclj.org, very easy, or download the ACLJ app. Make your donation today, and you can become an ACLJ champion, someone that gives on a monthly basis, and your first donation will be doubled still during this Life and Liberty Drive. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting the work of the ACLJ. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.